in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm hoping Josh can get those words up there for me. Yep. Because I want to leave the lights down. And I know you're going to have a hard time reading your Bible with the lights down. I'm having a hard time without glasses and the lights down. Just some words to challenge you with and to think about before we partake. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the youth. Thank you for the opportunities that are before us. Thank you for bringing us here tonight. Encourage us, Lord. Challenge us. We sit at this table tonight so grateful for what you've done. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to know tonight, Christian, that you are in a race. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if you have asked him to be your Savior, then he has saved you. He has made you a child in his family. You have the hope of heaven. But he's also set a race before you in this life. The imagery here is you're on the racetrack. You're in a stadium. The stands are filled with Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, Christians that have gone before you. They're up there cheering. Moses is up there. Queen Esther's up there. Job. The Apostle Paul. All these famous Christians throughout church history. They've already run their race. Now it's your turn. You have life now. It's time for you to run. The time has come now for you to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. For you to live your life now for Christ. To point others to Christ. To be a witness for Christ. To live your life in a way that expands the kingdom of God. There you go. You're on the track. If you're a Christian here tonight, the race is set before you. And this passage tells us the best way to run. I encourage you to run hard. I encourage you to run well. I encourage you to run all the days of your life. I encourage you to finish well. It says in verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. If you want to run the race well, you got to lay aside every weight. Now that makes sense, right? In athletics, do you see runners on the track running with dumbbells? Do you see a mountain climber lugging a suitcase up to the top of Mount Everest? No. You travel light. You lay aside every weight. When the runner gets on the track, he takes off the warm-up suit. There's no bulky clothing, nothing that might trip you up. You lay it aside. And if you're going to run this Christian race, well, then there are weights that you need to lay aside. Now, that's not necessarily speaking of sin. This is speaking of stuff. The word weight just simply means something bulky, something that's cumbersome, something that distracts your life. So it can be anything that distracts you from running that race. It can even be good things. It can be something like watching too much TV, looking at your phone all the time. It can be something like Facebook or Instagram. It can be something like a sport or a hobby or an activity. It could be something like school or a career or money. Now, school and career, that's certainly good, and I wouldn't say that you would neglect that. You need to pay attention to that. But your priority as a Christian is to run after Jesus. And if running the race for you means that you need to do something that you can't make as much money in as something else that you might want to do, then you need to run that race. As we sit at the table tonight, I want you to examine your life. Is there a weight in your life that's holding you back? I read about a woman who dreamed that the rapture was taking place. Have you ever dreamed that you were in the rapture? I have. It was weird. But this woman dreamed the rapture was taking place. But in her experience, while everyone was zooming up, it was a struggle for her to get even 20 feet off the ground. Looking down, she saw the problem. Around her ankle was a rope, and the end of which was tied to all her furniture. When she awoke, she realized the Lord was telling her she was tied down by all her possessions. There are possessions that can tie you down. Think through that tonight. Are there things in your life, even good things, but they're keeping you from running? And then, of course, it says, lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. That is speaking of sin. If you want to run the race, then you need to avoid living a sinful lifestyle. As a Christian man, as a Christian woman, you're to pursue righteousness, holiness. Live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Not involving yourself in habitual sin. It'll ensnare you. Living the life of a partier, or being a liar, or getting into violence, or sexual immorality. That will definitely stop you on the race. Don't be ensnared by it. Jesus put it this way in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. It's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Now, I always like to tell people and remind people, Jesus is speaking figuratively there. But he is saying, take extreme measures. And you sit at the table tonight, and I want you to consider your life. Are you ensnared by sin? Are you living a life of sin? Are you playing the role of a hypocrite? Give that to the Lord. Repent tonight. Run well. Notice what else it says in verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And look at this. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Two words I want you to see. Endurance is the Greek word hupomone, one of my favorite Greek words. It means to remain or to hold up under. To endure means to hold up, remain under pressure, under hardships. And then the Greek word that's translated race in this passage is the word agon, where we get our English word agony. It's a word that's used of a wrestling match, where you're just giving it your all. A marathon, where you're just giving it all, and it's hard. It's agony. I want you to know tonight that the race that God sets before us is not always easy. And it can be very, very challenging. See, when you're running that race, you become a target. The devil wants to make things hard for you. The world's against you. There are times where you feel like you're running uphill against the wind. There are times when you get tired. There are times when you get dry, you're thirsty. It can be a challenge. And you need to know that up front. You make a stand for Christ and you will face rejection from friends. You will face persecution. There will be trials and tribulations in your life. But remain under. Hold up under. Keep running. Don't look back. Even if you feel like you're the only one on the track running, run! You might be here tonight and you may be going through some very difficult times in your life as a Christian. Maybe you're being persecuted at school. Maybe you're being persecuted at work. Maybe there's a cost that you're having to pay for your faith in Christ. I tell you, hang on. Keep running. And don't you ever forget, my friend, that Jesus never leaves the track. He's with you. It's called perseverance. And it's worth it. And the rewards will be great. This passage also, I believe, gives us the inspiration for running the race. You know, we all need to be inspired, don't we? We need to have a role model. We need to have someone that we can look to that inspires us. And obviously, here in the text, our inspiration would include some of the men and women of God who have lived in the past and have run their race. They're in the stands cheering you on. You know, the Moseses and the Esthers. And I would encourage you, keep reading their stories in the Bible. Let them inspire you. And I want you to think of some of the things that those people really experienced in real life. Think of Joseph. Think of what he experienced, how he was thrown in a pit by his brothers, sold into slavery, and yet he made it. Think of what happened to Job, and he made it. Think of what happened to a Noah or an Abraham, and he made it. And you can make it. If you ever feel like you've fallen in a pit in life, think back to Joseph who fell in a pit. Think back to Jeremiah the prophet who was thrown in a pit. If you ever find yourself in a fiery trial, Think back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown in a furnace, and how Jesus walked with them. Feel like you're facing a giant of a problem? Think of David, the giant killer. Read their stories. Be inspired. And I would highly recommend that we read Christian biographies regularly. Read about what God has done in the lives of people throughout church history. Be inspired by it. They made it. You can make it. They made a difference in their world. You can too. And I certainly think that as Christians today, we should inspire one another, don't you? Inspire other Christians by the way you run the race. Get with other Christians who are running the race and let them inspire you. But by far, the greatest inspiration for us is who? Our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. The whole key to us running our race effectively is to look to Him. In fact, it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We sit at the table tonight, and I would like you to remember the race that Jesus ran. Think of what He did. Let that inspire you. The race began for Jesus as He left heaven, came to earth. He left heaven and came to earth and became a man. He left heaven and came to earth and became a man and went to a cross and was crucified on the cross for the sins of the world. It says, He endured the cross, despising the shame. We will never be able to understand the suffering that Jesus experienced, the physical pain. And you know, sometimes I think we think, well, Jesus was the Son of God, so He could handle the cross a lot better, right? I mean, He was God. Oh, He was also man, and He experienced the pain. And He probably understood the pain more than you or I could understand the pain. And don't forget that at the cross, all of our sins were placed upon Him. His suffering was spiritual. You talk about the load, the guilt of the world placed upon Him. We get a little personal insight into Jesus. It says that He despised the shame. He was on the cross and He despised the shame. He didn't like it at all. What He experienced was tough. It was hard. But you know what? There's that word again, hupomone. He remained under. He held up. He stayed the course. There's no mention of Him ever running away. There's no mention of Him calling the angels from heaven, hey, take care of this. And He could have. He endured. He finished the race. And the Bible says that God exalted Him. On the third day He arose, and it says that now He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Exalted. The victorious. Savior. We sit at the table tonight and remember a Savior that suffered greatly for us. But we also remember a Savior who is victorious. Verse 2 says that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Author means the pioneer, the captain, the initiator, the finisher, the completer. The idea is that Jesus Christ is the originator of faith, and He's the preeminent example of faith. Nobody lived a life of faith like Jesus. In other words, nobody ran the race like Jesus did. And all that He had to suffer. But He did it for you. I love the motivation. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. You know why He went through with it? There was a joy that He was looking to. That joy certainly would be His reunion with the Father and the accomplishment of doing His will and being exalted. But the Bible also tells us that His great joy was being able to bring more sons to glory. More men and women to glory. You are His joy. He went through all of that for you, for me, that we might be forgiven. So it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. That's what we need to do. And the word there is very specific. The idea is this looking unto Jesus is an intentional, deliberate looking away from other things so as to focus full attention on Christ. So it is an intentionally, and that should be the activity of our lives. Daily, choose to deliberately look away from other things and look to Him. He's your inspiration. He's your joy. And that's what we do at the table. You know, the whole purpose of communion is to look to Jesus. Jesus said, remember me this way. This bread, this juice, it represents the body that I broke, the blood that I spilled for you. Look to Jesus tonight. You know, you may be here tonight and you have a lot of things on your mind and there's a lot of distraction on your mind. Maybe there's problems in your life. Maybe there's pressures in your life. Look away from all of that tonight and look to Jesus. When we hand these elements out, I want you to hold them and I want you to keep them. And we're going to be singing a worship song and it's going to be quiet. And here's what I want you to do. We'll partake of these all together, but let Jesus tonight inspire you once again in the race. In the race that He has for you. Think of the race He ran for you. Love Him for it. Thank Him for it. Adore Him for it. But then commit. How am I going to run my race? Is there a weight in my life that I need to lay aside? Is there a sin in my life that I need to lay aside? Bow with me. Those who are going to be helping me distribute, why don't you come on up? head bowed, eyes closed, thinking things over. If you're a Christian here tonight, you are on the track. If you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not on the track. And I'd like to invite you to get on the track tonight. The race begins with conversion, with recognizing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, rose again victoriously, and He is in our midst tonight. And in order to become a part of His family, you have to have all of your sins washed away. And He's made that possible by His shed blood. I want to invite you, if you've never received Christ, make that decision tonight. Become a child in His family tonight. Pray this prayer with me if you've never done so. Say, Lord Jesus, I humble myself before You tonight. I believe in You. I believe that You are the Son of God, and that You came here and You died on the cross for my sin. I admit my sins. Wash me clean tonight. Be my Savior. And help me to follow You and to run well for You. Lord, I pray that You would help us all run well. Again, I ask that You would keep these, and we'll partake of this all together once we all get them.